When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Well, good morning to you. And a special good morning to all the veterans on this Veterans Day. Of course, the anniversary when World War I ended back in 1918. And the United States, of course, had Armistice Day and then eventually turned into Veterans Day. And we honor our veterans, those that fought in wars, those that didn't, those that passed away, those that haven't, all of them. We honor you. We salute you today. Good morning to you, 215-592-9494. Look, we're pumped up with the Birds, 7-2. They look a lot better. And it's always a great day to talk to Seth Joyner, who's with us every Monday at this time. Brought to us by Bradford White Water Heaters. How you heat your water, it matters. So whether it's a tank or tankless model, choose Bradford White. Visit BradfordWhite.com. The phenomenal Eagles linebacker from the 80s and the 1990s, and a might be a better commentator than linebacker, and that's saying something. Mr. Seth Joyner. Good morning, Seth.
What's going on, fellas?
Boy, isn't it fun to see this team playing like this now? They're putting it together right now, Seth.
Yeah, you know, I got a little bit of bone to pick with you this morning.
Oh, no.
Good.
I just buttered you up. Let me tell you something. Seth Joyner, better player than commentator. I take it back.
You know what, John? I just got one question. What in the world does Jalen have to do to get your approval?
Thank you, Seth.
He's going to be holding the Lombardi Trophy as the Super Bowl MVP, and Joe's going to be like,
maybe Jalen shouldn't have to worry about Joe's boobishness.
I'm just glad that, you know, I'm not the only one that feels that way.
Yeah.
What does he got to do?
Well, that's a great question.
So I'll answer the question by saying this. He played a great third quarter, I've said it. He played a great end of the second quarter, I've said it. He didn't play good for the first, whatever it was, 25 minutes. He didn't. Right?
Oh, and well, you know how many other quarterbacks out there don't play great for 60 minutes?
Jared Goff played like trash.
Five interceptions.
Yeah. But sure. You want to know something? Everybody continued to talk about how efficient he is, how
and
great
also,
he is.
And also, he's their quarterback. They're not saying, in a couple years, he's not going to be their quarterback anymore. They're not saying, Jalen's probably going to be gone after this year or within the next year and a half.
And we're really not, John, we're really not talking about, you know, for Jared, this isn't the first game where he wasn't spectacular. There's been like two or three games this year where he barely got 100 yards passing because they ran the ball so effectively. That's the first thing.
Sure.
Patrick Mahomes has had his games where the defense has had to rescue him, you know, but we won't give. It's almost like Jalen is, you know, and I guess it's not just pointed at you because, you know, I've had my points in time where I've been very critical of him. But I've also been one of his greatest supporters, too. And I think that there's a different line for Jalen than it is for a lot of other quarterbacks in the National Football League. A lot more latitude is given to guys like that than it is Jalen. And I don't think it's right. I really don't. Because, you know, he's playing better football. We want to talk about his ability to run with the football and minimize his ability to throw the football. But think about the balls that he's thrown.
He threw some nice balls yesterday.
The balls to Saquon yesterday, last week. The ball to Devontae last. The two balls to Devontae last week. The ball to AJ Brown, the deep ball, was perfectly
tremendous.
You couldn't have asked for it. He couldn't walk down there and put the ball in there any better. The ball to Dallas Goedert, the scramble. And the accuracy of those two balls to Dallas Goedert and Johnny Wilson.
Blitzer in his face. Unblocked blitzer. No one
untouched. I thought they were two of his best plays this season. They were great plays.
Hits Dallas.
But he does something like that almost every week, and it gets overlooked because the team is starting slow or – you know, he struggles for a point in time. And my point is, there's not a single quarterback in the National Football League that comes out from play one and just lights it up. They all struggle here and there. They all make bad plays here or there.
So why the unrealistic expectations from you?
Okay, I'm going to leave him alone now. I have never seen Joe with nothing to say.
No, I got a lot to say, but I'm letting the arrows come my way. I'll deal with it. You know, we'll say. I mean, look, he played a great third quarter. He made a couple notable mistakes early, which if you weren't facing such a bad team and didn't have such a great defensive performance, could have created an L. I mean, that's a fact. I mean, two turnovers early, and the only reason they scored that first touchdown, guys, let's be real. The reason they scored that first touchdown, they got the ball at the 20, and Saquon had an incredible, you know, catch and run down to the 1 yard line. That's why. Otherwise, they'd have nothing.
See, we are.
The ball was thrown from him to Saquon.
He made a nice little check down, but let's not act like Jalen Hurts created that touchdown. Jalen Hurts didn't create anything until there's a couple minutes left in the second quarter.
This is exactly my point, because we want to make excuses for why, you know, he's not playing at the level of everybody else instead of just. It's a team game, Joe.
Jalen
can only do what he can do. If they don't give him the ball in that position and Saquon doesn't make that run, then guess what? He can't make the play that follows. That's just, I agree. That's complimentary football.
I thought you were backing off, Seth.
I'm not backing off because you're not backing off.
Well, because you challenged me to say more.
No, because we move the goalposts when it comes to Jalen, you know, and then we give other quarterbacks such great credit. You know, you think about, there's so many teams. San Francisco, Brock Purdy is a good quarterback. But Brock Purdy has everything that a quarterback could ever want and desire. You know, and they run a lot of play action pass. And they hand it off an awful lot, too. And I'm telling you right now, there's a lot of quarterbacks in the National Football League that just don't light it up, and we don't give them credit.
Josh Allen threw two interceptions yesterday. Jalen, yeah, okay, he turned it over for the first time in a month.
And
he
I'm going to tell it, you
threw
something.
It to the other team. He fumbled it away, but Josh Allen did too. And our Patrick Mahomes went into the locker room yesterday down 14-3 to Bo Nix and a, you know, pretty good Denver defense. It's a team game. And right, sometimes so, you got to put it all together as a team.
I'm gonna make these two points and I'm going to leave it alone, okay? Anybody who knows football can look at that interception and realize that Diggs made a hell of a play.
He sure did.
It was not so much a bad ball by Jalen because against most defenders, okay, against most defenders, that's a touchdown.
I agree.
Because when that tight end runs that seam route, most guys chase from behind. Diggs is a guy that goes after the interception. And as a quarterback, you have to know your opponent and what their tendencies are. He's always going to undercut it. He's always going to close the window. So the minute that he thought that Dallas Goedert was open, he was never open because that was a setup. That was a setup the entire time. But you got to understand who your opponent is and how they're going to play. So I give Diggs more credit because Jalen put the ball where it had to be. 9 times out of 10, that defender is not going to make that type of play on that ball. Okay? The sack, yeah. Hey, listen, at the end of the day, he's got his hands on the ball. He's got to protect the football. But you're going to ask Fred Johnson to block Micah Parsons all day long. He starts off on the outside. Fred stones him on the outside. He decides he's going to loop underneath with nobody.
It was a nice punch. He really did. He did a nice job. And I don't even know for sure that was a specific stunt.
No.
It was like, I'm just trying to find my way through this mess.
He does it.
Now that Fred shocked me
he does
with that
it all
first
the time.
Hit.
He does it all the time, John. And you know what really has to happen is when that offensive tackle sees that he's beat and he decides to come inside, there's nobody in there for him to switch off with. He literally has to go around behind the offensive line and stone him there. If he doesn't do that, he's going to make that play all the time, and he's magnificent at it.
He is. All right, Seth Joyner with us in studio. By the way, Seth will be with us on Friday because, of course, you know, we always say every Monday, but really what it means is the day after an Eagles game. We'll get to the Eagles in Washington shortly. Seth, the defense yesterday.
Outstanding.
I mean, really good. Talk to us.
Outstanding. I mean, I think that Vic Fangio has been trying to figure out the players that he has, what their tendencies are, and what they're really good at. And I think he's figured it out. But I'm telling you right now, the play of these two young rookie corners and the way that they're motivating and inspiring the rest of the guys in the secondary, you know, the two safeties have big plays yesterday. And I know what that's like. You know, when you're playing on a defense and other guys are making plays, there's something inside you that wells up and it's like, man, especially if they're young guys, you're like, I got to get in on the action.
Sure.
But both Blankenship, you know, punched the ball out, got a ball out yesterday. And then Gardner Johnson had an interception yesterday. So they are playing so good, and those young guys are a big reason why. But I tell you what, too, them damn linebackers, man, they are playing lights out right now. I mean, absolutely lights. I was really, really concerned coming into the season, and I was really more concerned about N'Kobe Dean moving forward. But when you look at every facet of it now, he's playing with so much speed now. He looks like he knows where he's supposed to be, what he's supposed to be doing. His tackling used to be awful, and especially in the open field.
How did it get so much better, Seth?
Listen, when you're young, trying to learn a defense is the hardest thing because you can't let your natural ability just come out and just you go do what it is that you're good at doing. You don't play the game on natural. You're thinking. And when your mind is cluttered with thinking, you know, defense is a reactive side of the game. You're not reacting. You're thinking while things are going on. And as a defender, because offenses play so fast, it's almost impossible for you to just like free up. Now he looks free. He looks free. Yeah. And the work that they've done on tackling, now they got that donut out of there and they're actually, you know, tackling some people. Yeah. I mean,
so you think that stuff works? The drills that they're doing.
John. You can't.
Yeah, that's great.
You can't tackle unless you practice tackling.
Yeah,
tell me.
I'm with you.
And tell me what.
Why
big round
don't
orange
why
donut
don't they
do see?
More of that? Like why is it that has, I don't know, is it uncool to practice that? Like why did that fall so far out of use? Because everyone's wearing shorts all the time, shorts and baseball caps instead of pads.
Probably.
So there's just no days that you really have an opportunity let guys dive on the ground.
Listen, we grew up in the age of live 9-on-7 to the ground.
Exactly.
Every week. So you
that
learn
was every what if Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Yeah. So you learn how to tackle, or you practice tackling in practice. Well, now they have only got 12 padded practices throughout the year, and they don't have any live in training camp. They don't have live. So how in the world can you become fundamentally sound on something that you don't necessarily work at where you can go full speed or you have, you know, body contact?
You have to learn to do it in the games themselves.
All right, let's get some calls in here. Seth Joyner in studio with us. We're going to get to the Eagles and the Washington reality coming up shortly. Joe in Mayfair right now. Joseph.
Hey, the camera. I love you to death. You know that. But I'm so done with you with this, again, this stuttering, this anti-jail, and you're afraid to. It's like you still hold
First off, I didn't barely say anything negative until Seth came in here and said I did. I mean,
yeah, you did.
He struggled.
I got my deal driving in.
Seth, did he or did he not play not good in the first 25 minutes?
I agree.
Okay.
Well, I mean,
agree. So
I mean,
what did I say wrong?
You want to take the entire ball and just chip a little piece off it and act like that's the hole.
No,
it doesn't
Joe, here's my point, Joe the caller. Here's my point. We'll know more when we see the Eagles face better teams. Look, clearly Jalen Hurts is not bad, and I never said he was, but there are people that think he's really good. I don't think he is, but we'll see. We'll find out.
So the bad first quarter before the interception, he still was 6-for-7 for 102 yards. It's not like he was awful. The sacks were awful. His throws were not awful. He was not chucking and ducking like Donovan at people's feet during a screen or throwing the ball high and wide or down and low. The thing with Jalen is the same thing with the defenders, and this is all about I've said this for years when I call him the station. Mental. When you're reacting instead of attacking, when you're afraid you're going to make a mistake, you're a half a step slower. And, yes, the pick in the end zone at Diggs. Hurts did let the ball go after he made the break. The ball should have been gone when he made the break, the anticipation throw. Hurts was a little slow.
He was a half a beat slow.
100%. That's what caused the pick. If he throws it when he's supposed to, that's a touchdown. But, Joe, quarterbacks in the NFL are not perfect. This is
of
not
course,
playing Madden.
Of course not. I got you.
And he's 8.
Well, I don't play Madden. I play Tecmo Bowl. That's all right.
Exactly, which is even easier to play. So he's 5th in rating and 8th in QBR, and the team is 7-2 and should be 8-1. But there's some reason, Joe. I don't know if it's because he lost Super Bowl to Mahomes.
No.
If he wins that game, are you less harsh on him?
If he wins that game, am I less harsh on him? I don't think so. Joe, I think the part that people that criticize me frequently miss is I believe he's got so much around him, it props him up. I mean, Saquon created that touchdown, and the defense created that first touchdown.
Joe,
by what they by what they did.
Good players, Joe.
That's the it's the NFL.
Yeah, but hold on, but Joe, but hold on, Joe. Hold on, Joe. Hold on. Who had more out there with them yesterday, Jalen Hurts or Cooper Rush? Be honest.
We're not talking about
No. You talk to me about everyone's got players. I'm asking you a question. Who had more talent around them yesterday, Jalen Hurts or Cooper Rush?
I mean, we played a Division II college team yesterday with no heart.
Of course. I mean, that's my point. Now, look, I mean, you guys want to come at me? That's fine. I wasn't even trying to take this on today. That's fine. But to act like Jalen Hurts hasn't had an advantage based on who's around him, I think is foolish.
Well, that's another excuse, in my opinion.
Well, it's not an excuse. It's just a reality.
It is an excuse. Look at the roster that Dan Campbell has built for Jared Goff.
Right.
Okay? When he left Los Angeles, it was believed that he was done.
No question.
The reason why
I was
Sean
convinced
McVay,
he was done.
The I thought he was done,
Sean
too.
Sean McVay got rid of him is because he knew he could not win with him. Okay? You put a roster around the guy with all of those wide receivers, those two running backs, that offensive line full of first-round draft picks. Hell yeah, he's going to be good. He's going to be excellent. Brock Purdy, look at all the weapons that he's got around him. Of course he's going to be good. Patrick Mahomes, even when they didn't have it, he had the defense to carry him. And throughout his career, he's always had talented wide receivers. They always seem to find some wide receiver in the fourth, fifth, or sixth round that comes in, turns into an all-pro. So every quarterback, I'm so tired of that narrative. Oh, with everything he got around him, he should be playing so much better. Every successful quarterback, show me a successful quarterback over the last 50 years in the National Football League, and I'll show you that he's got a roster full of talent around him. We just expect for Jalen to be all world all the time because how he went out and created this great roster of weapons around him on the offensive side of the football. And guess what? It still takes an entire team to get it done. It still takes the offensive line because Jalen can't snap the ball to himself, block for himself, run down the field, catch that 50-yard pass that he just threw to himself. He needs other people around him, and every successful quarterback has to have those same elements. And for the most part, the ones that are successful, they do.
All right, let's talk about Thursday. So, Seth, this is a fascinating matchup. The Eagles and Washington, it feels like it's been forever since they've played a meaningful game where both teams are good. And it also feels like forever since Washington's had a quarterback. I mean, other than that 1 year of RG3 and a little bit of Kirk Cousins being okay. I mean, they pretty much haven't had one since, you know, Mark Rippon in the early 90s. So let's frame this question this way, Seth. Not who was better 2 years ago, because Jalen was better than Jaden Daniels, wasn't even in the pros. Not who will be better 5 years from now. In your opinion, Seth, Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels, who is a better quarterback right now?
I think Jalen Hurts is a better quarterback right now. I think in the current atmosphere, you have a head coach that's come in and done a phenomenal job.
Yeah.
I mean, he brought 19 different free agents to that football team. Can you imagine?
That's incredible. You just remade both sides of the ball.
You got a young kid that's using virtual reality with every play in the playbook in his virtual reality world, and the kid lives on this thing. So he's seeing the game from a different perspective, and it's speeding up his decision-making process and everything. Because football is really about, in my opinion, how you visualize things being. Because if you've studied properly and you've prepared properly, a lot of times when you see a guy doesn't make a play and he's got his eyes are bugged, like he's in a state of shock, because in his mind's eye, he hadn't seen himself making that play. Like I used to visualize the game the night before.
Absolutely.
So when things happen,
your brain can't tell the difference between actually doing it and you imagining it.
So,
can train.
So that's a big plus for him. But on the other side of the coin, you can't take anything away from the kid. He has it all. He can make every throw. He's dangerous, more dangerous outside of the pocket than he is inside the pocket.
Why aren't more young quarterbacks using this virtual reality situation?
Because
if it's working so well for Jaden.
It will be. A lot of people.
Does our quarterback have access to this virtual reality system?
I don't know, but a lot of people don't like to talk about, you know, the technology and advances that they have because they got a leg up for a little while.
Mm, yeah.
You know? So I can imagine some of these quarterbacks either have it, or if they don't have it, they're all going to have it real soon.
Mm-hmm. John,
he's been using this ever since he was at LSU.
Yeah, John, Hurts and Daniels, who do you think is currently better?
It's Jalen Hurts, but Jaden Daniels, he has so much potential. He has so much, clearly, growth available. Man, he's way ahead of schedule.
He's ahead of him just because on experience, too. You know,
reps he's getting, that's incredible. Virtual reality reps, that matters. No wonder he's so ahead.
Eagles already tore apart Dallas, it seems like they're in disarray. And next up is Washington with the division on the line. Now, not for the end of the season yet, but I mean, first place in the division on the line Thursday night, which is exciting between the Eagles and Washington for Thursday night football. John, let's get to today's Twitter poll question of the day. Because we just referenced the division, but then there's that, thing called the Super Bowl. And the Twitter poll is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin has the new 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. John, here's the question today. Are the Eagles a legitimate Super Bowl contender? Thousands of votes online over the last couple hours. How do you think people voted? Are they a legitimate Super Bowl contender?
I'm going to say that, the only people who are voting no here are people who are trying to be a wrench in the machine, because everyone's feeling great today. So 78% say yes.
I just did what you did.
You guys are on fire right now.
You turn off your microphone, then I turn off mine. I am shocked by this poll. Only 65% say they're a legitimate Super Bowl contender.
That's what I thought.
Why, Seth?
That's a little light.
I'm surprised by that.
Because...
is it who they beat? Bad teams?
No, listen, I think you play who you play. You know, Dallas is beat up. Some of the other teams, they may be lesser teams, but...
I'd like to know who they think is a Super Bowl.
Well, is it Detroit and nobody else in the NFC? Is that it?
I think people are going to start to believe, that San Francisco, and they struggled with Tampa yesterday.
They struggle all the time.
Yeah, but I think...
They're lurking, though.
I think if they once they start to get healthy, especially on the offensive side of the ball, that's going to be the natural.
The Commanders? Like the Commanders? Well, this is the premier matchup in the NFC right now, the Eagles and the Commanders.
Well, in our division, there's no doubt about it. The Detroit Lions are the team they're going to have to beat if they got designs on going to the Super Bowl. There's just no getting around that.
I agree with that.
And I was hoping that, Detroit would lose one yesterday to kind of bring them back to even so that, somewhere down the line, potentially they can get, if they was fortunate enough to, go on a run here, that they can get home field advantage. It's going to be tough to go to Detroit. Anybody going to Detroit is going to have a tough time winning there.
Let me ask a question, and this goes to, maybe someone answers it today, maybe it's tomorrow. When's the last time the Eagles and Washington played a game that it really mattered for both teams? Is it literally the second to last game of the 1991 season when Eric Allen knocked that ball away, Seth, and you guys made the playoffs knocked away a ball from Gary Clark?
Technically, the when they tanked, didn't that game still matter for the Eagles?
Well,
no, I guess it didn't actually.
I'm not talking about 2020. One team,
it didn't anymore anyway.
3-11-1 and or 4-10-1, and the other teams would.
It's 2003, and LeVar was across the way.
No, they weren't really good.
Yeah, they weren't good.
Seth, they were pretty good.
They were better than the Dallas Cowboys.
No, but they had no quarterback. Who was it? Jason Campbell or somebody?
No. I don't know. Who was it? It wasn't Jason Campbell.
Seth, it might be 30 years since the Eagles and Washington played a game past September where both teams were in contention.
You might be right. You might be right. I mean, Washington's been bad for a long time. I mean, I don't know, James. Somebody can tell me when it was that Dan Snyder bought the team.
And they
were bad.
Well, he bought in the late 90s, I believe, because that's when he was signing Bruce Smith and Dion and those guys right near the start of the century.
There you go.
I mean, they haven't done much for a long, long, long time. All right, let's go to the phones. Unbelievable. Eagles and Washington, big game on Thursday. And, of course, a lot looking back on yesterday's performance by the Eagles, which was a great one down in Dallas. Let's go to Chuck right now in Mount Airy. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning. How you feeling? Morning, team. Good morning.
Excited.
What's up, Chuck?
Happy.
Hey, I'm happy too. The good team's a good team. Don't get me wrong. They're a good team, but they're not a Super Bowl contender, the Eagles. Who are we fooling? And the reason why that poll isn't as high.
Who is, Chuck?
The Eagles are a good team.
Who's a Super Bowl contender then?
Buffalo, Detroit, Kansas City. In the NFC, I guess you'll say, Detroit, man.
There's only one contender team in the NFC, in your opinion, huh, Chuck?
And Chuck, it's not like Detroit is that much more amazing than everyone. At least I don't think they are. I'm not telling you that I think the Eagles are great, but I do think there's more than one contender in the NFC. It has to be.
Listen, it doesn't have to be. And what I'm saying is this, right? Detroit is like light years better than this team right now. To beat Detroit, you got to go, strive with those guys. And this quarterback, let's face it, this quarterback, it was up 7-6 going into the half. Like, come on, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he leaves a lot to be desired, man. A lot of meat on the bone, Seth. I'm sorry. You know what I mean? And a lot of plays to be had. You know, that play he threw that was an interception, let's call a spade a spade. He was late on that throw. He's late all the time on those throws, man. If the quarterback played better.
He's late sometimes. And a lot of quarterbacks are late sometimes, Chuck. That's the nature of the game. The challenge is trying to be early. The challenge is trying to get better so you can anticipate and you can release that ball before the break. And he wasn't there on that play. It was a split second late, and it was an incredible play by Diggs. I mean, incredible. Very unlikely. Like 9 out of 10 times, that falls harmlessly to the ground.
He may be the only cornerback in the National Football League that makes that play. I'm telling you right now.
They didn't score again in the first drive, okay? The thing about it is this, right? They scored in the first quarter because they had a short field. They got a turnover. You know, I love the way our defense is playing. But we don't have a bona fide pass rusher on that side of the ball. When the playoffs come, somebody's
that is a worry. Yeah, that's a worry.
Like, come on, man.
All right, Chuck.
I mean,
interesting.
The quarterback got to play better. The quarterback has to play better. I mean, you guys, you lowered the bar so much for this guy. We're talking about a Super Bowl. We're not talking about just playoffs. A Super Bowl. He has to play better.
All right, Chuck. We appreciate the call. The defense is part of how they may get to the Super Bowl. Let's listen to Sirianni after the game yesterday. Because he had a lot of praise, rightfully so, for his defense.
That kind of happened in the Brazil game, too, against the Packers. They just kind of helped us stay in it when it wasn't going great. I think the defense has done a really nice job. They played a great game today. Forcing that turnover, I think, after our turnover was huge to keep it at 7-3. But they played – I just thought that they played – they started fast. They played great throughout the entire game. We tackled. I love when we tackle well. I mean, we've tackled really well.
I mean, they did. And then Sirianni, after the long, rambling answers he typically gives, eventually got back around to they created turnovers yesterday, John. I mean, that was one of the big things. I mean,
it was a
plethora
the
as that game went on.
Turnovers have been crazy lately.
But that's the way it goes. It comes.
You're right.
Turnovers and sacks, that's the way they work.
10 takeaways in the last three games, and this is another Ruben Frank stat. 10 turnovers in the last 10 takeaways in the last three games. We only had 12 in the previous 21.
You remember that three-game run when they had like 15 sacks?
This year?
This year.
Okay. Well, a couple games ago. Then.
Yeah. They had like a little run there.
Yeah,
I know in two games they had something like 12, 13 sacks in one game. A lot of it has to do with being able to play more aggressively because the adjective that describes turnovers is forced. And if you're not playing aggressively, then that means you don't force turnovers. And defenses aren't just going to give you the ball. You have to be more aggressive in your coverage. You got to be more aggressive rushing the passer, even if that means you got to send the fifth or the sixth guy. You just got to do it because that's what forces the quarterback to make mistakes and throw you interceptions. They got to come up and they got to tackle better. The fact that they tackle better means that they're forcing more, and the emphasis on getting the ball out. Now that they're forcing, more turnovers, more fumbles. And, I don't know.
Did you practice that part back when you were playing? This science of punching the ball out, I know Peanut Tillman was really good. Like, there are certain guys who are way better at this than others. And I just wonder why there's not more of an emphasis on practicing the art of removing the ball from ball carrier.
But you know what the thing was? We were so damn aggressive, though. You know, it just became a way of being. Like, we knew we were going to get sacks because they weren't protection-wise going to be able to block some of the things that we could bring. But we played so aggressive, you know, and we were trying to put the hurt on people. And when you and when you play that way, that's
it's just a side effect.
The turnovers are a byproduct of that. There's something about this whole Jalen thing that's just like weighing on me.
Man, you're really wound.
I get it too. My problem, Seth, is I believe Jalen is elite. He doesn't want to say
he's not elite. He's definitely not elite.
I believe Jalen is he's certainly a top 10 quarterback. Joe doesn't think he's a top 10 quarterback.
No, I think he's outside the top 10.
No, he doesn't give him the credit that I know he deserves. And the problems that he creates for a defense, I don't know that anyone can really appreciate how difficult he makes it.
You want to know his flaw right now? To me, his flaw is he's trying to make plays work that are dead, and he refuses to throw the ball away in certain situations. Like 5 sacks in the first half, that's ridiculous.
Well, that was a Carson issue. Carson used to do that.
Not a single sack in the second half.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, when you compare him across the board, and you got to look at this thing in totality. Joe, through 4 games, they were 2-2. And they had to do something. There was no offensive identity to this offense. And they made the decision once Saquon showed who he could be for this offense that the run game was going to be the focal point coming out of the bye. It's remained the focal point.
Yep.
They are number one or number two in the National Football League in running the football. 187, they went into yesterday's game averaging 174 yards per game rushing. They had 187 in yesterday's game, and I'm trying to figure out how the hell they got there, you know, with Saquon only having 66 yards on the ground.
Well, Jalen was a big part of it.
Well, but that's my point.
No, I give him great credit for that.
But my point is, when you hear, you know, Chuck talk about it, the quarterback's got to be better. Well, he threw for 100-something yards yesterday. He ran for damn near 70 yards, you know, at the other end of the spectrum. It's bigger than that. It's so much bigger than that. You know, if he's going to be able to run and pick up first downs with his legs, score touchdowns with his legs, and I'm not talking about just tush pushes, that goes into the equation of the overall quarterback. His rating has been like, he's averaging like 119 over the last 5 games. What the hell else do you guys want? What more do you want from the quarterback?
There were 2 games this year that Patrick Mahomes had a better QB rating than Jalen Hurts, and they were both way at the beginning of the year. Since the bye, when Jalen and this team went
John,
back
can
into
you
the
name,
shop.
Can you name a wide receiver that Patrick Mahomes throws the ball to? Because I can't. Who are
DeAndre
they?
DeAndre Hopkins?
Yeah.
Well, he just
Xavier
got him.
Worthy.
He just got
touchdowns
him.
Listen,
Xavier
he
Worthy.
He just got him.
Doesn't matter, though.
Well, it does kind of matter. It does kind of matter.
No,
they got a guy
matter.
Who runs a 4.2.
You got
and
a
he's
tight
actually
end.
Good.
You got a tight end that the
and
NFL.
DeAndre.
You got
and
a tight
Kelsey.
End that the NFL has just not figured out how to do anything with.
Well,
because everybody's so afraid, even in man coverage, to get up and jam the guy at the line of scrimmage and throw off the timing of his routes. Like, if I was playing him today, I wouldn't give him 1 ounce of room to breathe in man situations. I would get up, I would take my jam at the line of scrimmage, I would throw the timing off between he and Patrick Mahomes and force Mahomes to go to the second read. But you play off and you let these guys have these timing routes, it's like playing Madden football. Of course he's going to light them up. So when you have that, and then you got a coach like Andy Reid who, you know, and this is their method to success. When the offense is struggling, the defense is holding them up. When they come out after halftime, it's just like they're in the Super Bowl when the Eagles lost to them in the Super Bowl. They made a concerted effort to run the football, something that nobody wants to talk about. And guess what? When they want to run the ball and they put their mind to it, they can run the football. That begins to open up the game for Patrick Mahomes. And of course, yeah, he needs some players, but when you go play action pass, hey, you can get James Thrash and some of them other guys that Donovan had back in the day, and they're going to have success.
All right, let's get to what we do every single day at this time.
The time is yours.
Can't wait.
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us what you want to say. The time is yours.
Time's yours.
All right, time's yours, brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Xfinity Mobile customers now get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. Let's hit it with time's yours.
When you have a quarterback that plays like Forrest Gump's box of chocolates, you never know what you're going to get. Jalen Hurts is coming up ass in Big D again.
Wow. Jeez.
Did you call that in, Joe?
No, it was Rhea, Rhea, don't even try to pin that on me. I'm getting a lot of barbs around here, and I don't deserve some of them. I'll say that.
Great win. One thing, we need to pay Braun. Extend him. Do it now. Just get it out of the way. Get this man on a long-term contract now, tomorrow.
It's going to be fascinating to see what they do with the Zach Bond money situation.
Dallas sucks, Dallas sucks, Dallas sucks, Dallas sucks, and so does Romo. Dallas sucks, Dallas sucks, Dallas sucks, and another thing, Dallas sucks.
Well, they were horrendous yesterday.
Did you think Romo did a good job?
Huh?
You think Romo did a good job?
Yeah, it's fine.
To Cowboy Jim and all you sorry Philly Cowboy fans out there, dare I ask, how about them Cowboys?
Well, if Wechter was on top of his game, he'd have the Jimmy Johnson drop in there, but he didn't, but okay.
Tickets to the game, $500. Flight to the game, $500 more. The price of seeing Jerry and company in their box at the end of the third quarter, down 28-6, worth every penny.
What have I done to deserve this?
Time's yours.
There you go. Love it. And with that, time's yours. We shut it down.
The time's yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
So I was thinking about it there. Maybe the last time the Eagles and Washington played where both teams were good, maybe it's that game Donovan had in 2000. You might remember that tremendous run he had where he juked that Washington cornerback like 10 times. It wasn't 10. It was like 6 times in a second. With like he moved right leg. It was Donovan's first year starting, and he had an incredible run. Listen, maybe it's been since 2000 these teams have both been good later in the year playing each other. Seth, we don't have a ton of time. Give me, if you can, quickly, 30 seconds, because I know the Washington thing's not as high for you as Dallas or any of us, and for most of us, not as high as the Giants. But from your perspective as an Eagles alum, the Eagles-Washington thing, when it used to matter, and it did when you played, that team, those guys, here they are again. It's a big spot. Washington, from your perspective, is an Eagle legend.
Always a tough game. I mean, the dynamics are different, you know, because that was the most physical game of the year. You know, I used to tell people all the time I could play on Sunday and probably come back and play on Wednesday or Thursday, but not after a Washington game. Just so physical. You just beat up and just sore because they were just such a physical opponent. But they're a division foe. And because they're a division foe, it's a big game.
But they've been a joke for a long time, and now are not.
Yeah,
they're
true,
not a joke now.
True, but you know, you still got to beat them.
Yeah,
you know, there's been times where you know they've been a joke, and the Eagles have lost to them.
That's right.
So you know, you still got to beat them, and this game is no different. This game, this is major. This is a huge game for the Eagles because they're now all of a sudden, instead of being up a half a game, you're up a full 2 games on them, and you got a little bit of wiggle room because whoever between these two teams. One of these two teams is going to win the division, and it's probably going to be the team that can come out, you know, with both wins.
Yeah.
I don't even think a split necessarily gets you one way or the other.
Look, Eagles, Washington, we'll be talking about it, really cranking up that coverage starting tomorrow, but great job by the Birds versus Dallas. Joe and Hugh, they're up next. We shall talk to you tomorrow